Let's get to our guest. Mona Mahajan is with us. Mona is Senior Investment Strategist at Edward Jones, joining from just across the Hudson River from here in New York City. Mona, thanks for being with us. Kind of an interesting day in markets. I think the NVIDIA story did cast a pall over a lot of the price action. Nonetheless, I mean, we started the day with a pretty decent rally. It proved not to be durable. Is this just anxiety ahead of the CPI data on Wednesday?
Yeah, I think generally the CPI data will be the big market mover this week. We're seeing pretty quiet volumes, pretty quiet markets leading up to that. Now, keep in mind, we've had a pretty nice bounce off those lows in mid-June as well. You know, this quarter alone, the S&P is up about 9.5%, NASDAQ up nearly 15%. I think the next big move will be determined by what happens on Wednesday.
Well, absolutely. And you know, the thing is, could you see a surprise with the inflation to the downside? And what would that do? Because that would perhaps bring out the bulls.
Yeah, you know, generally, I think we're all watching the headline data pretty carefully. We're seeing what's happening with oil markets, but really even beyond oil, broader commodity markets, grain, food, industrial metals, all down nicely since the June data came out last month. Now, for the month of July, WTI oil, for example, is about down about 12% on average in July versus June. Similarly, with the broader S&P commodity index, down about 11%. So some of this will certainly be reflected in the headline data that's starting to get priced, perhaps. Some of the enthusiasm in markets reflected that. Where the questions will still be around core inflation. Now, keep in mind, core inflation, the stickier parts of it, like shelter and rent, which is about a third of inflation broadly, services inflation, all tend to be stickier than most would like. But in the next 6 to 12 months, given what's happening with softer housing, with softer consumer demand, we should start to see that moderate as well. So the story on inflation hopefully is now moving in the right direction. The question is, you know, will the Fed rely on one data point? Probably not. They'll want to see 2, 3, maybe even 4 moves in the right direction before they can really kind of take their foot off the brake a little.
So pretty quickly here, I'll give you about 40 seconds to unpack the employment story as it relates to the case for more Fed tightening. Do you think another 75 basis points is a slam dunk here in September?
Yeah, you know, I think that the Fed is set up nicely for 75 basis point in September. Now, we will have 2 more CPI prints ahead of that. So if they're both moving very sharply lower, maybe they do 50, but the bottom line is the direction of travel for Fed funds rate is higher. We'll probably have 50 or 75 in September, followed by 2 more 25s in November and December as well. And so we're getting increasingly tighter on the Fed funds rate, and that may create a little bit more volatility for markets than what we've seen, but hopefully set us up well heading into 2023.
Mona, I mean, with all what's going on, the volatility, the to-ing and fro-ing, is there something that you have absolute conviction in looking ahead?
Yeah, you know, generally what we'd say is that this rebound we've seen off the lows in mid-June, we don't think that will continue in a straight line upwards through year-end. So what we'd say is the conviction is probably around we will probably get another bout of volatility. And keep in mind, September and October are historically volatile periods, but also a time when the Fed will be continuing to raise rates. Quantitative tightening will begin more in earnest. Some of that reopening travel demand may start to slow. And then, of course, you know, as the Fed raises rates, you could see yields start to move higher, which kind of could disrupt the market rebound as well. So, you know, what we'd say broadly, though, even if we start to see a little softening in the economy or earnings projections, we wouldn't expect yet another 20% type of drawdown in equities. So, you know, given we don't see yet the scope for any deep or prolonged recession, the good news for investors is the big move down in markets may have already occurred in the first half. So we would probably not see a sustained rebound or rally until, you know, as we noted earlier, inflation starts moving lower in earnest. This could start to coincide with the post-midterm election period here in the U.S., which generally tends to be favorable for equities. But we would use any upcoming market volatility to start reviewing your portfolio, also adding, you know, risk, interesting opportunities, quality investments at better prices according to your long-term plans, both in defensive parts of the market, but then gradually layering in those growth and tech names once again, especially as economic growth slows further down the year.
I'm sorry to interrupt there, Mona. Are you seeing opportunities outside the U.S. right now, offshore, that you think are particularly attractive?
You know, interestingly, valuations, of course, once again, start to look interesting in Europe and even parts of Asia and EM. But for now, what we'd say is the U.S. is still the most resilient player in the block, given we are the country economy generally is less dependent on oil and energy from the Russia-Ukraine area, also less dependent on China as a trading partner broadly. So we would say we would still need to see the resilience of the economies play out. And for now, for the next probably 2 to 4 quarters, the U.S. economy started from a position of strength, and that will probably play out in markets as well. So probably more U.S. domestically oriented for now, but really the opportunities we're seeing probably start to look more attractive in the EM region if we start to get a global rebound in the next year or so.
I just want to get to the MLive Pulse question that we have at the moment, and that is the 60-40 portfolio dead?
We think absolutely not. In fact, while bonds had a very tough first half of the year, historically, when they are down to that extent, the next 12 months tends to be pretty positive. In fact, on average, a return of 12% across the bond market. And in fact, what we're seeing now is bonds are offering better income opportunities than they really have over the last 12 months plus, but also could start really acting as that diversification tool in your portfolio that you need. Keep in mind, during economic downturns or even slowdowns, that flight to safety does come to play, and bonds do tend to outperform during those periods. And so you're getting both the income benefit, the diversification benefit. Now, 60-40 is the broad generalization. It may be different for different investors, 70-30, 80-20, even depending on where you are and what your goals are. But certainly having some bond exposure at this point actually could be a very interesting income and investment opportunity.
Mona, very quickly, 15 seconds, you mentioned the off-term elections in the fall. Market-moving event or not?
You know, markets love gridlock, in fact, and what it's looking like in the polling is that we could get gridlock, and so I think it could be actually not a bad opportunity for markets. Historically, the 6 months after midterm elections has been positive regardless of which party is in power after midterm elections. And so we're hopeful that that does mark perhaps a bit of an inflection point, but certainly for areas like healthcare, for example, even
Mona,
technology.
That's all we got time for. Thank you, Mona Mahajan, their senior investment strategist at Edward Jones, and her take on the markets. This is Bloomberg.